All right, we'll start at the top of Chavtel and Amon Aleph at the Mishnah. Aisha, Shinodra Benazir. This is a Mishnah that we've seen the Gemara's brought before in order to bring proofs to the previous statements that we've seen in the Gemara, so it should be familiar. Aisha Shinodra Benazir, Behifrisha et Behemta. She took a net of the Zirut and she separated out her animals. The Acharkach, Heferlo. And then afterwards, her husband is Mefer the net. Heferlo Bala. If the animals are his, then they go out and into his the regular flock, meaning that they're chulin, that they have no kedusha assigned or associated with it. If it's her behemot, hachatat tamut, which is something that we brought earlier, right? The Gemara discussed this. On Yutad, the chatat tamut, because she requires kapara, and it's ki'ilu, it's a chatat shemetu ba'leo. The ola tikrav, right, ola, then the ola will be brought as an ola. And the shlamim tikrav shlamim. And then the shlamim will be brought as a shlamim. And what does that mean? V'nachlim. So the regular din of a shlamim is that it's eaten for 2 days and a night in between. Shneyamim v'layla echad. Right? And there is no requirement of lechem or zroa. But over here, it says, nachlim le'yom echad. That is the din of a todat nazir, or a shalmei nazir. Nazir's korban is eaten for yom v'layla echad. So the shlamim will take on the parameters or the requirements of a normal shlamim of a nazir, even though it's a voluntary shlamim. Nechalim leyom echad, that's eaten for 1 day, ve'enan te'unim lechem, and they do not require the bread. The shalmei nazir come along, similar to a todah, comes along with lechem, excluding the chametz aspect of it. But it usually is brought with lechem, and lechem tnufa, that you do a wave offering with the lechem before Hashem. But the wave offering of the lechem is done al kapei ha-nazir, on the hands of the nazir, the palms of the nazir. And we don't have kapei ha-nazir here, so there's no way to do the wave offering. We'll see, on the second half of today's daf, there is a machlokas between the Ri and the Mefarsh and some of the other Rishonim, whether ein tunim lechem means that you don't bring the bread at all. The lechem does not come at all. Or does that mean that the bread comes, you may be at the lechem, but ain't no tnufa. There's no wave offering associated with it. And we say the same thing with the zroa. Right? The zroa is a requirement of the nazir that he does, it separates out of the shalmei nazir and is done as a wave offering. So again, the zroa here, what happens to the zroa and the shalmei nazir? So our Mishnah does not discuss it, although it seems from, again, on the second half of today's daf, that the zroa is also, it's brought, but it's missing the tznufa. The tznufa is not made, and then you give it to the kohen to eat, even though you don't do any tznufa. So we'll see on the second half of the daf, but basically this shlamim turns into a shlamim of a nazir. Now the ola being brought as an ola, that we had earlier in the machlokas between the chachamim and dafyutet, between the chachamim Rabbi Shmuel, whether what the status of the ola is. Chachamim said the ola is a doron ba'alma, it's a gift, a general gift, whereas the Rabbi Shmuel believed that the ola is ma'akev, right, that it was part of the kapara, right, that you needed, the pasuk needed to exclude in order for you not to be ma'akev with an ola. I mean, that if you were not for the pasuk, we would have thought the ola is ma'akev, which means that it's part of the kapara. So when we say ola tikrav ola, is that only according to the chachamim? Is that even according to Rabbi Shmuel, who believes that the ola has a tzad kapara associated with it? So Tosfos Sevir suggests that it's even according to Rabbi Shmuel, that Rabbi Shmuel only believes that an ola, or the ola comes for a kapara when it is a part of the nazir tmeah, right, or nazir tameh. Remember, when a nazir becomes tameh, he brings 3 karbanot, right? Over there, he brings the chatas and the ola, which are the birds. And there it says, so over there, the ola is associated with, as long with the chatas, with the kapara. So that's when Rabbi Shmuel makes a statement, the ola is not a doron bialma, because it's included in the Kiper Alav Masher Chatal HaNofesh. And then you bring a Nasham, Hisham Nazir, whereas when it comes to a Nazir Tehora, or Nazir Tahor, at the end of his Nazirut, right over there you bring an Ola, a Chatat, and Lishlamim, but there's no mention of Kapara. So over there, the Tosfos believes, even Rabbi Shmuel agrees that Ola goes back to its normal status of being a Doron Ba'alma, a gift in general. If that's the case, then even according to Rabbi Shmuel over here, the Ola will be brought as an Ola. Alright, now, Hayula Ma'ot Stumim. What happens if she has money? Meaning that she didn't actually purchase the behemoth, but she separated money to pay for the behemoth. But within that money pool, she did not identify which of the three karbanot this money goes towards. Meaning that it's here's a pool of money for my nazirut. We don't know if it's, you know, we don't know what she's going to buy with each part of that money, because she has a pool of money to buy an olah shlamim and a chatat. So what's the status? Yiplu l'nidava. Then that money will fall to the nidava. Nidava means voluntary offerings, but voluntary offerings of the tzibur, keitz mizbeach, or the keitz mizbeach that the karbanot, when the mizbeach was batel, they used to bring on the mizbeach extra olot. Those olot were from this money that was donated to the tzibur. So then this money will fall into that pool of money that's used to bring the additional olot for the tzibur. Ma'ot mufrashin. Right? So now what happens if not only did she separate the money, but she identified what she would purchase with each portion of that money. She set aside this much money towards the chatas, this for the olah, this for the shlamim, and identified each of those. So dmei chatat yelchud al yam hamelach. The money of a chatat will be thrown in yam hamelach. So that's the equivalent of a chatat that we saw above, when it's actually a behema, that it's tamut. So throwing something in Yam HaMelech was the equivalent of destroying it, eliminating it, because everything that went to Yam HaMelech was corroded by the salt content. Lo nehenin velo ma'alim lehen. Right? You don't get hana from them. You may not get hana from this money, but also there is no me'ilah. There is no me'ilah because this is all midi rabbanan. Right? Midi oraisa. So you actually have to have the behema prior to the korban, the bringing of the korban. And number two, she has to be a full-fledged nazira. Over here, she's lost her status as a nazira, right? And therefore, the money is going to go to the Yam HaMelech. So, lo nanin, you cannot get benefit from this money, but if you do get benefit, it's not a problem. You don't have to pay for me'ilah, because it's all mitzvah rabbanan here. Dmei ola, yavi ola. So just like above, the obehimat ola goes to being an ola. Here, the money that you set aside for ola, you bring an ola with. Umo alin behen. And obviously, there is me'ilah in this behema, because this behema is still a valid korban. Since it's still a valid korban, the money goes towards that valid korban.
Right. And then it's more in behem, not more in the behema, but more in the kesef.
Yeah, right. But because this money will go towards a valid korban, and even though she's now been removed from being a nazirat, that's not changed the status that this money will be used for olah, remains as a problem. It's a problem of me'ilah. The Dmei Shlamim, Yabiu Shlamim. And with the Dmei Shlamim, you bring a Shlamim, and it'll have the same, as we said above, with the Behema, it was a Shlamim, and Echlim, the Yom Echad, Vein Tunim Lechem. Right, they're brought like a Shalmei Nazir, so it'll only be for one day and one night. It will not require, the Lechem to be brought along with the Shlamim, or Shalmei Nazir, because we're missing the Kapei Nazir, right, the hands of the Nazir to do the wave offering. Alright, now, now in the Gemara. Alright. Taman Tana Debao Lo Mishtabido. Who's the author that says that the husband is not required to provide his wife's karbanot? Meaning that it's an obligation. He is obligated to provide his wife's karbanot. Why do we need to know who that Tana is? Because our Mishnah differentiated between his animals and hers, and her animals. If the husband is obligated to provide all animals for his wife's karbanot, then in this case, why would there ever be a difference between his animals and her animals? Because he's always required to provide the animals. If he's always required the animals, they're always hers animals, because either because she has these animals or because he's now obligated to provide the animals for her. If he's obligated to provide the animals for her, it's the equivalent of her animals now.
I thought we had learned that they were provided to her al-tnai that she needed.
Very good. Excellent. Okay. Thank you, Tzvi. The Gemara will get to you. You're five steps ahead, but the Gemara will get to where you are. Very good. Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, Rabbanan. This is the position of the Rabbanan. If we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who believes that a husband is obligated to provide the coming out from well, I might take say Vitira Be'eder. Why should it go to Chulin then? They belong to her. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Mevi Karban Ashir Al Ishto V'chin Karbanotea Ashi Chayevet. That a husband must provide the Karban Ashir for his wife and any other Karbanot that she is Chayevet and that she is required to be in. Shekach Katav La, this is what he writes for her. Right, all obligations, right, that you have, that I will fulfill of all obligations that are provided here. Now, which is a couple, we'll just break down Rabbi Yehuda's statement. We'll break it down to three parts here. In Rabbi Yehuda's statement, just so you know, that it's there's machlokas, of course, in each part of Rabbi Yehuda's statement. So let's just start. First of all, it says, Adam mevi karban ashir al ishto. What's a karban ashir? Right, so there's certain karbanot that become as we had it this week's parasha, Mitzorah is one of them, olevi yoreid. Right, olevi yoreid means that there's a different obligation in bringing the karban depending on your economic ability to pay for the karban. So now, what's the case here? How could it be that his wife has a different economic status than he does? Right, I mean that since they're married, they should be on the same economic status. So how could it be that he's obligated to bring the karban ashir for his wife? Of course, he's whatever he is, his wife is. And so there are two possibilities to answer that. Bali, I think, is suggesting what the Mefarish suggests over here, that prior to getting married, right, that prior to getting married, she became obligated in bringing a karban of sorts. Then she gets married. So when she, prior to her marriage, she was poor. She was unable to bring a karban ashir. Then she marries up, and her husband now has the ability to pay for karban ashir. And the Mefari says that's the case here. The case is that the husband is providing a karban ashir after marriage. I mean that because she upgraded economically by getting married, she'll also now have to bring, based on the obligation of her husband to provide it for her, then she'll have to bring a karban ashir or a karban ashir right now. Now, Tosfot and the Rosh, on the other hand, believe no, that anything that is before marriage, she remains in her status before marriage. Marriage is a terminating point for any obligations for the husband. All obligations for the husband only begin at the moment of marriage. He doesn't have to take on the obligations she had prior to getting married. And the chiyuv is here based on the fact that she has no property. The husband can't say. You would think the husband could say, right, basically, you know, this is like filing separate tax returns. Right? He could basically say, well, she can get the karban out of her income, and I'll provide my karban out of my income. So what income does she have? Nothing. All right, well then she brings a karban aniya. Right? She's an ani, so she'll bring her karban for herself, because she's filing separately and she has no income. Then let her bring her own karban, which is the lowest form. I'm not obligated. But once we obligate him to provide the karban for his wife, then he can't say that any longer. We say he may not say that, and therefore her status is determined by his status, and therefore he'll have to provide the karbanot for his wife. Right? So that's the first issue. The second issue is, it says, V'chin kol banotah she chayevet. Any korban that she is obligated to bring, the husband must provide. Now what does that mean, obligated to bring? So the Mefarshim here, Tosfos goes his way, the Rosh speaks it a little differently, but the Rosh formulates it nice, more in a much more open way, is that it's only obligatory karbanot that he's chayev to provide. He does not have to provide her nidarim and nidavot. If she takes the nether, or she says she's going to bring a voluntary offering, she donates a animal to, she says, I'll bring a korban voluntarily, he does not have to provide that. Why not? Why does he have to provide it? So Tosa says, or the Rosh says it also, it's a preventative measure. Why? Because what happens if his wife gets angry at him? Right, they get into a fight, his wife gets angry at him. The way she can always get back at him is say, guess what? 1,000 karbanot to the Mikdash, and now he's obligated to bring 1,000 karbanot on her behalf. So we don't want to put her in a position where he is obligated to provide her in a way that she can now cause damage to him. So then you'll say, oh, but what about Nazir? In the case of Nazir, by definition, is a voluntary offering. Because a Nazir is an obligation that she accepted on herself voluntarily. So why over there do we say he's obligated to provide the Karbanot? Not in the Nedarim Nedavot. So the Rosh says, because by Nazira, she's affecting herself. So in that case, a woman, we understand that if there's no pain,
I'm sure they just deterrent.
Right.
Thousand
terms of consideration. Right. So that's the. In that case, we're not going to say if there's a deterrent, right, or a reason that she'll be affected. Also, we say then he will be obligated. If it's willy nilly that she can obligate him, then we're not going to allow it. Right. We have a similar thing by Eved, by a slave, by the neighbor of a slave. If a master always had to pay for the damage that his slave did. Then what would happen? The slave would go out and burn down all, when he got upset, he'd go burn down all the neighbor's fields and say, ha ha ha, right? And you're now obligated to pay for it. So we don't want to put people in a position where we're empowering somebody that they're obligated to take care of, because otherwise then they always hold the ace card or trump card in any situation, because they can create a huge loss for them.
Isn't a vow by a woman have to get the approval of a father or a husband in the first place?
Okay, very good.
Like that?
Okay, very good. So Tosfos asks your question. He says, all right, let her take that. Very good. He says, let her take the voluntary offering and he'll be mayfairant. Why do we have to go through this problem and prevent the Darim and the Devot from going through, but all he has to do is be mayfairant? So we can say he is obligated, but he has to be mayfair the nether. So Tosfos says, we worry about the fact, we've seen this earlier in the Darim, that maybe he'll be tarud. Like when he hears about the nether, he won't be focused on it, and something will be going on, he'll be involved in other stuff, and he only has one day, he only has that until the sun sets on that day to take care of it, and he won't get there in time. And so he won't get there in time, then he'll be stuck with the nether, because he heard about the nether and he didn't handle it. Right, we've had situations like that. Why does a person appoint a shliach to make for the nether, even though he himself has to be maker or hear about it? Because he'll be leaving on his trip, he'll be packing to leave for China, and all of a sudden, right, his wife takes the nether, and he's too asuk, he's too involved in order to be made for the nether. So in that instance, we don't want to stick him in a position where he can't get out of it.
You're also saying maybe more simply, because he puts the onus on him, you know, if he had been saved by loans, right, where you learn, let's say, you know, if someone pays well partially, you know, the question about, you know, keeping the shtar. In terms of the rules, it's all right, because we don't want to put the onus on the person, you know, who's not supposed to have the onus. Or the answer is, so always has to preserve the shtar. So he also knows that he always has to have the onus to make sure that he, you know, that he's made for the net. So it's a burden on him that, you know, that's
right.
Necessarily warranted.
Right. That's fair. It's not, you don't want, I think that's the idea, that the making that far on him is a chance that he'll miss out. Right? So we don't want to put the onus on him. So I think you're right. So now the last thing in the statement of Yehuda is, where does it say this in the Ketubah? Right? If you go check your Ketubah, does it really say this? Does this cut of lachlach, right? Eat lachan alai, min kadama dana. Is that really written in the Ketubah? The answer is, maybe not. But it's not in the Ketubah. So, Rashi says in other places that this is not actually in the Ketubah. This is in, listen to this, the receipt the husband receives when he divorces his wife and pays off the Ketubah. That she, when she writes him a shover, a receipt saying that you paid off the Ketubah, in that receipt it says, now you are free and clear of Kalakrayus, Dislakalai, Min Kadamat Dana. Any Akrayus, any obligations that were prior to this, you are now free and clear of. So Rashi says, based on that, the fact that she writes a receipt that says you are free and clear of all these obligations meant that until this point you were obligated in these items. So Rashi says that it's really written in the shover, in the receipt given in a divorce, right? Not in the ksuba itself. There are others, the other Rishonim believe that this is a tnai ksuba, that this is a part of the tnai ksuba, and that maybe even though it's not explicitly written in, it's something that based and instituted as a condition of the ksuba, that you are obligated to take care of all quote-unquote obligations of your wife.
Doesn't lend itself to that
interpretation.
Right.
Right. It's kazav law, not literally, but kazav law, meaning by obligating himself in a ksuba, right? That is, he's obligated also in the tnaye ksuba. All right. Now, Rav Amar. So this is what Steve was suggesting before. Afilu teima Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rabbi Yehuda can be the author of our Mishnah, because if you think like Rabbi Yehuda, the husband's obligated in his wife's karbanot, then you can't differentiate between his karbanot and her karbanot. They're always her karbanot, either because they're hers or because he's obligated to provide it for her. So now, they said there was a chavit. Rabbi says, can he be Rabbi Yehuda? Why? Ki mishabed lo b'milso d'srikhala. B'milso d'lo srikhala lo. Right, so this is what you were suggesting to me, that when is he obligated to provide for her? When she needs it. meaning that if she is obligated to bring the karbanot, then he's obligated to provide her. When he nullifies the neder, her obligation disappears. If her obligation disappears, she's not entitled to take these behemoth from him. If she's not entitled to take the behemoth from him, they are his. If they're his, then we can differentiate in the outcome between his and hers. Alright, now, you could Amri. There's some that read this whole sugya the other way around. Ma Tana, who's the Tana? Amri v'chista Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana must be Rabbi Yehuda, because why only in the case of Rabbi Yehuda can you differentiate? Kechimi shabi lo b'milsa d'tzrichla. Milsa d'lo tzrichla la lo. Because the only time the husband is obligated to provide for her is when she needs it. And when she doesn't need it, he's not obligated. T'im Rabbanon. If the Rabbanon are the authors of Mishma, lo mishabed l'klal, he's not obligated to provide for her at all. So then, how does she have any property here? Elohei Chadami, what's the case? The mishabed l'kagon to Aknila, that he gave it to her as a kinyan, right? He gave it to Aknila, habet nedafsho. So what do you mean? Once he gives the animals to her, once she owns the property, it's no longer his, it becomes her property. Once it's her property, it'll be under the category of her in the Mishnah. So if we can't have anything, according to the Rabbanan, there's nothing under a category of him, because he's never obligated to provide karbanot for her. If he gives her money, then it's hers. If it's hers, then it's no longer his. So there's no category of his in the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yehuda must be the author of Mishnah, not the Rabbanan. Rav Amar, so Rav says, no, afilu tamer Rabbanan, even the Rabbanan could be the authors of our Mishnah, ki makni lo nami b'milsa d'tzrichla, b'milsa lo tzrichla lo makni lo, that he gave her over a behema, right, he says, here, use this behema, even though he's not obligated to do it, he gives it to her voluntarily, he says, look, you can use this behema if you need it, right? So in the case of Nazira, if she followed that, followed through, and she was in Nazira throughout, then she would have needed it. But now, all of a sudden, he pulls the plug on Nazirut by, right, saying that it's nullified, it's mufar, then once he pulls the plug, he's also saying there's no need for this animal for behema, and it reverts back to being his animal. If it reverts back to being his animal, then it becomes chulin. Right? I would just point out that the Ram says over here, by the way, that it depends when he gives her the animal. It's important that he does not, once he gives her the animal, say for instance, he goes ahead, and she takes a netter to Zirut. And then she goes and gives him, he goes, here's your animals for your Zirut. If he does that, he can no longer be made for the nether. Because the equivalent of a mekayim the nether, when he gives her the animals, it's the equivalent of him saying bani. Remember we had in the Mishnah, if he says, oh, me too, that means he's basically two steps. I'm mekayim the nether, and now I want to be amin matis in your nether. So if he handles over animals to be in the zirah, that's equivalent of a mekayim the nether. Because
it's not there too.
Right, if he makes the tzniyah, but he didn't make the tzniyah. So if he doesn't make the tzniyah, he hands her the animals, then he's equivalent of saying to her, I approve of your neder nezirut, and that's why I'm giving the animals. I'm not obligated to give them to you. I'm voluntarily giving them to you. If he does that, it's a kiyum neder, and he can't be made for afterwards. So that's be a case where he was either made for first, or like you're suggesting, say that he had a tzniyah when he gave them to her. Right, if this neder lasts, right then, these are your animals for your neder, or he gives them generically to her, not for the neder nezirut, specifically for the neder nezirut. All right. Next question. Im shalaita b'imta chatat tamut v'la tikrab. As the Mishnah says, that they're hers. So where it says, he minola. How does she own property? Why? We have a principle, mashkanta isha kanta bala. Whatever a woman takes possession of, automatically her husband gets possession of it. Meaning that there's no independent ownership for the wife, right, ex her husband. So if that's the case, then how does she have property that does not belong to her husband? Right, so now we've seen this before. I think that the Gemara has seen it before. Now the Gemara is going to give two answers, interesting answers. Rapapa, Tamar Rapapa, she kimtzata mi'isata.
Embezzled.
Embezzled, not embezzled, because she was entitled to it. Embezzled has a negative connotation, but rather that she was, she skimped on what she ate. So now what is the skimping over here? Meaning that, is this a case? So the Mefarish over here says that he's not feeding her directly, she's not living it, you know, he's feeding her through a third party. So since he's feeding her through a third party, he gives her a fixed amount.
There's an allowance.
Right, there's an allowance, a fixed allowance. So she can use the allowance as she likes, meaning that if she eats less and does with less, then she can keep the excess. That's the way the Mefarish learns. Tosfos brings out that it can't be a case like that, because even in that instance, right, when he pays it through a third party, the motor mizonot would come back to the husband. Because the motor mizonot become like property that she's now taking possession of. She takes possession of the property now returns to him. So the case must be where he says, see, I say a dayak, bin mizonot dayak. in a case where he says to her, we're trading your Maisei Yadayim for your Mizonot. So in that case, then there is a fixed payment that goes against the Mizonot and not, right, a Yeter Mizonot in that case. So he says that's the case here. That's how she gets the extra that is left over here. So that extra, with that extra, she's now added up to, right, and she took the penny every day, and that penny finally added up to a behemoth, and she's buying the karbanot with her own money.
What are certain aspects of the property she takes into the marriage, like nechsei tzon barzel?
Right.
Where she retains the caring, correct?
Right, but there she doesn't have the rights, the husband has veto rights over that. Because the payrolls belong to him, he has veto rights for her to use that property.
Okay, he didn't veto.
Well, he could. I mean, the fact is that because of his veto rights, she doesn't have the right to sell the property. She loses all kinyanim rights. She doesn't have rights to transact in the property.
She couldn't be doing
that. Right, at the end, right. I mean, she gets it on both ends. In between, she doesn't have control over it. Neither of them almost have control. The question is, can the husband sell it? Or can she sell it? Who has veto rights? Who has rights here? So the Gemara is going to give an answer similar to what you're suggesting to be here, which is, that someone else gave her property. She was gifted property by a third party, I'm not saying the violation would shoot the hand, right? On the condition that your husband has no rights to this property. Right, very good. Right, so that's what Gedalia says. We saw this in the Dorim. Right, it happened to be on my focus, Rabbi Shmuel in the Dorim. What happens? Right, this is a good case. This is my father-in-law is here. This is a good case. What happens if a son-in-law restricts his father-in-law from giving any benefit to him? He says, I don't want any benefit from my father-in-law, but the father-in-law still wants to give his daughter property. Right? He wants to give gifts to his daughter, but if he gives a gift to his daughter, it automatically then goes back to the son-in-law. If that's the case, right, then he can never gift to his daughter. So there, Rav Shmuel in my book is how do you gift? Right, so Shmuel said, all you have to do is say, I'm gifting this to my daughter, as long as without the rights, that the husband has no rights to it. Meaning exactly what's written here in the Gemara. Right? So as long as your husband has no rights to it, this property remains yours. Rav said no, that you have to make it much more expensive. You have to say it more extensively. Number one, that it says that your husband has no rights to it. Plus, you have to make a second part of the statement was to at no senate no tenet lepicha, right? That it only is good, I mean, it only becomes yours when you use it for your own use. Remember that? We said that the kinyan will only be effective at the moment she uses it. Not only can you actually say that your husband has no rights in it, because the problem is, if, according to Rav at least, when you give her, you say that your husband has no ownership in it. But what does the wife then have? She has rights to use the property. Those rights, the husband can get a hold of, because he inherits all rights that his wife has. She has rights to use it, that he may go ahead and have rights again to use it, and you'll run into the same problem. So Rav says, no, you have to say, not only does your husband have no rights in it or no ownership in it, number two is that you only get it, that whatever you use it for, that's when you get it. So it only happens at the moment she uses it, does it become hers, and at that point the husband can't get a hold of it anymore. So the problem is that we saw over there was a machlokas had a paskin, we paskin like Rav and Shmuel. But we have general principles in Shas, the Rav and Shmuel, right? Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, when it comes to Dinei Mamonanos, we paskin like Shmuel. When it comes to Dinei Surim, we paskin like Rav. So what is this? This is Dinei Mamonanos, we should paskin like Shmuel. But the Rebbeinu Tam says, no, where's the Gemara found? The Gemara's found in Nedarim. Since it's found in Nedarim, it's brought down in the context of Isur. Since it's brought down in the context of Isur, we paskin like Rav. Oh, we paskin like Rav. Why did the Gemara over here only bring Amunat Chaim Balef Rishuth Bayim? It should have said, it's missing the rest of Rav's statement here. The Rebbeinu Tam says, no, don't worry about it. It means the whole thing, right? When it says, Shem Balech Manavam, it says that, etc. It means etc. They didn't come and write out the whole thing that he needs to say, but it means this plus everything you need to say to make it work. All right, next. Ola Tikra Ola, Vashlamim Tikra Vashlamim, right? So the other animals, excuse me, the Ola is brought as an Ola, and the Shlamim is brought as a Shlamim. Amalei Shmuel Lavua Barhi. So Shmuel said to Lavua Barhi, Lo Tete Valkarech. Do not sit down. Adamarkli Hadamilsa. Don't sit down until you tell me this item. Ve'lohein Arba'a Elim Shenam Tunim Lechem. There are four types of Elim that don't require bread. You know, by a Nazir. You have Shalmei Nazir. Right? The Shalmei of a Nazir normally comes with Lechem. Right? There's a requirement to bring Lechem. There are four instances when you bring the Shalmei Nazir, but you don't bring the Lechem associated with it. So what are those four cases? So that's either, now the way to read this Gemara is very clear. Is this Shmuel asked him what are the four cases? And Abu Abari answers him what these four cases are. The problem with that is that the cases, three out of the four cases are open Mishnayot. So what's Shmuel asking him, what are the cases if they're explicitly written in the Mishnayot? We would assume Shmuel knew those Mishnayot. So many people read this as being a question from Shmuel all the way through to the bottom of the Amud. It's a very long question. But Shmuel goes through that the whole question. The other possibility is that this is Shmuel's statement, and then Yerba'ava answers him, and then the Gemara asks the question later on. But the easier way to read it, to avoid the problem of Shmuel, either you have to say that Shmuel's asking on the fourth case, which is in a Mishnah, or you have to say that Shmuel is making this whole statement, and then you'll see at the end of the Amud, there's one question, and that question will be Shmuel's question. Alright, so now, it says, what are the four? One is, Shaloh, Vishalah, Shlachar Mito, Shlachar Kapara. Shelah Hadamran. Her, we just did. That's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is a case where she is Makrish the Behema, and it's hers, and then the husband is Mefer the Nether. Once that is Mefer the Nether, then the Shlamim comes as a Shami Nazir, but you don't bring the lesson with it. Shelah, what's the case of Shelah? It's not. There's a Mishnah further on in our Perek in Chavchet, Ha'ish Madirat Beno B'Nazir. Ben'eshira Madirat Beno B'Nazir. A father has the ability to mechanech his children by making a Nether Nazirat, almost imposing a Nether Nazirat on his child. Gilak, or Shogilchua Krovim, after his death, or there's a way that they can object. And you can object to the Nazirut of the father. Either the son can cut his hair, or the Krovim can cut his hair. And that'll Micho Mishach Yodo, even if they don't cut it, even if they object, openly state that they object to the Nazirut, right? Or Mishmichu Krovim, then the Nazirut goes away. The Nazirut that the father imposed on the son goes away. So now, what happened in this case where the father imposed the Nazirut on his son, and then they are Micha, that they object to this Nazirut. After his death, they object to his Nazirut, and therefore, Nazirut falls away. But in the meantime, Hayulum Ma'ot Stumim. There was money already set aside for paying for the Karbanot. So then, Yiplu Nitzava. If the money was, like in our Mishnah, was not identified which Karban it goes for, then they all go to Karbanot Olah. Ma'ot Mufrashim, right? If they are explicitly identified which money goes for the Shlamim, the Olah, and the Chatat, then, Dmei Chatat Yelchul Yam HaMelach, right? The same as our Mishnah. Dmei Olah Yavi Olah, Umalin Bahen, right? The Dmei Olah you bring, and you are given Moel, but then, Dmei Shlamim Yavi Shlamim, Nechlim the Yom Echad, Beinim Tum Lechem, and they don't require Lechem. So that's the next case, of a case where you bring a Shami Nazir, and you do not require a lechem. Very similar to our case, is a case where someone began a neder nazirut. There was money already set aside, or even if there were animals set aside for it, and the nazirut, the plug was pulled on the nazirut. In our case, it's because the husband was made for the neder. In that case, it's because the son or the relatives objected to the nazirut after the father was out of the picture. Alright. In each of these cases, the shlamim is used as a neder nazirut. And when it's used as a neder nazirut, I'm sorry, the shlamim is brought as a shalmei nazir. So it's brought as a shalmei nazir, you would think it would need lechem. And in each of these cases, they know it does not require lechem because there's a chaseron, which we said is kapea nazir. But it has to be brought with the palms on the nazir. You have to do a tnufa, wave offering with the lechem. That he's unable to do here. How do you do what? I'm sorry? What is Mi'ilah? Okay, Mi'ilah is when a person gets benefit from Hekdesh, something that is Kodesh, but is associated with the Mikdash, and somebody gets benefit from that, then he has to bring a, he has to pay back Hekdesh for the loss that he caused, plus he has to bring a, plus that, plus a Chomesh, and then he has to bring a Korban Mi'ilah, a Sham Mi'ilah. It's required to bring a korban. So if you take in something from Hekdesh and you get benefit from it, then you must bring a korban and pay it back. That which you did. That's Mi'ilah. Mi'ilah only, not to get into the details, but also depends on what type of item it is. If it's a disposable item or a usable item, then you have to actually use it. If it's an item that's reusable, then you have to get a certain amount of benefit from it. So just, I think those are more details of Mi'ilah, but just in general, it's the general problem is that you basically using government property, using the money of Hekdesh.
Right? Okay.
No, I just forgot about the whole concept of Mito.
There's a distinction between the, our Mishnah said there's a distinction between the Mechatas and the Ola. Right? There's the Mechatas, which it goes, Yamamela. So they you know, if you use it, that you're the only one to use it. But the Ola, since you can bring it all as a Dava, so once it gets fed into that group, it's like regular, it's like regular head page. I mean,
so Dvei Shlamim, Rabbi Yerushalamim. Right, the Shlamim will be Rabbi Yerushalamim, but they're coming out of the what's the case after death? Me know alone? The Danya of a race, a mafrish ma'ut l'niziruto, lo nehenin, below ma'alim behen. A person who sets aside money for his nizirut, you don't get any benefit, you may not get benefit from them, but if you do get benefit from them, there is no milah b'pnei. She really, and l'aviv kulan shlamim. So if you have a pot of money that is designated to bring in net for your nizirut, that if you get benefit from that pot of money, even though you're not supposed to, if you do, you will not be chayav me'ilah. Why? Because in that pot is mixed up a chatas and ola and a shlamim. And since there's no me'ilah by the shlamim, therefore we're not going to associate you right with the me'ilah over here. Okay, now
the chulin.
Right, each piece of money could possibly be in the shlamim. Since each piece of money could have possibly been the shlamim, then we're going to say that there is no me'ilah here, because each piece of money, you could say this was part of the shlamim and not part of the olah.
But the obvious question is, what if he takes
it's all the money if he spends it? Right. I don't, even if he uses all the money, if he uses it sequentially, it may not be a problem, but the problem is might be if he uses it in one block. If he uses it in one shot, he spends all the money, then you have to say maybe he was. But I think the way, none of the Rishonim discuss it here, but I think the probable answer is that since each coin, right, this is something that we did yesterday in the daf there, that it's not lo kviya yisura, right, that the yisur is not separate and identifiable, because each coin could possibly be a shlamim coin, even though in its entirety, the package, you definitely hit coins that would have been used for a
kashrut. How presupposedly he specifically said that all three karbanos are going to
be? Oh, very good. He could
use all the money for the shlamim, and then just have to take additional money for the other
karbanos. Right, so that's what the Bafaris here says, that he could buy a big fat shlamim and use all the money for a shlamim, and that way you'd avoid the problems.
It's like you have three pieces of meat, and two of them are kosher, and one is not.
Right. If you eat them sequentially, then what's the status of, do you have to leave one over or not, right? Which happens to be very good. It's machlokes to be shown him. Once you've eaten the first two pieces, then do you have to not eat the third piece or not? Do we have to say, by definition, there is one isur and you have to leave it over? Or we say, once there's rove, everything is had there, and you have to eat three of them, even though for sure you're going to hit isur by eating all three of them, right? It's very good. So that's one type of case, right? Mace, v'hayulo ma'okstumim, right? So now, if he has ma'okstumim, ipun daba, then they go for olah, as we said. Ma'ok mipurashim. If the ma'ok are identifiable, meaning that they're designated for each korban, d'mei chatat yalich liyam ha'melach, lo nenim v'lo ma'alim. This is like our mission again, that the d'mei chatas go into yam ha'melach, you can't get benefit from them. If you do, there's no me'ilah. D'mei olah yabiyo olah, u'ma'alim v'hen. Okay, like she'll explain, that when the olah, the d'mei olah are used for an olah, so you are mo'el v'hem because they never changed their status. They were always used for olah, and they continue to be used for a korban olah. D'mei shlamim yabiyo shlamim, nechlim liyam echad, v'enim tumim lechem achar. Alright, so inatum lechem, and they don't require lechem. So here's that third case of where you bring in the shlamim like a shalmei nazir, and yet they don't require lechem. So all three of these cases, again, the money was taken out and the nazir disappears. That is the nazir disappear. You have hafaras abal, or the child, where the relatives of the child objects to the nazirut. In the last case, he dies. He's the nazir and he dies. So in all these three cases, you have money or an animal that's already designated to be the shlamim, and the nazir disappears. In all these cases, you bring it as a shalmei nazir, but you do not bring lechem. Shalachar kapara, the fourth case.
Wait,
is...
So, what was the difference between shalachem, lisa, and mace?
Who?
Is it, are these two separate cases, Shel Achar Misa and then Mace?
Where's Mace?
Mace, Hayelo Maus, Dumin.
No, that's the case. That's the case of Shel Achar Misa, yeah. Alright. So Achar Kapara, the fourth case here is Achar Kapara, Shvoruhu. The Gemara says it's logical. We don't have a brace or a mission to prove it. So this might have been the question of Shmuel. What's the fourth case? Because we don't have any open, explicit, Tanaic work to support it. Shel Achar Misa, my Tam, the low cause of the Kapara. What's the reason that after he dies, you still bring a shlamim, a shalmei nazir, don't bring lechem with it? Because he doesn't need a kapara anymore. Why doesn't he need a kapara? Because he's not a nazir anymore. Right? He's gone. So it's over here. Shalach a kapara. Now me.
Well, so presumably once he's dead, you wouldn't put it in his palm anymore.
Right. So that's a shalach a kapara. Right. So also, the after kapara is the same. Halokazi le kapara. Right? This nazir is not ma'uli the kapara anymore. He doesn't need the kapara. He already brought an alternative behemoth on his behalf. So what's the case here? The case here is that he separated money to buy the behemoth of his nazirut, and then he lost that money. So the interim, he finishes up his zirut, and he does all his karbanot nazir. Then he finds the money later on. He finds them later on. What do we do with that money? So he's no longer a nazir. So what do? We say it's equivalent of him being after dead, when he's dead. It's equivalent of him being no longer a nazir, right? And he has this money, and we need to do something with this money. So in that case also, you'll bring the shlamim as a shlamim nazir, and you will not bring the what? The lachem. So that's the four cases that Shmuel asks. So again, either Shmuel, this is all of Shmuel's question is still going until now, or Shmuel asks the question, what are the four? The first three were obvious. He wanted to know what this fourth one was, and that's what Abu Abari explained to him. It's a svara. This last one is a case of svara, and he explained the svara to him. Now, the two left them. Are there no more? There are only four and no more? Vayika. There is the last case. So the alternative reading of Shmuel's, this is Shmuel's question. Shmuel's question is not about the four, but why there are only four. There should be more than four, which is this case that I'm just about to bring to you. Vayika. And there are no more? Vayika. Or, if you read it the other way, that Shmuel's question, which are, what are the four? About three of them he didn't really ask, the fourth one he's asking, then Abu Abari answered him, then this is the Gemara asking it. Nothing to do with Shmuel and Abari, that's over, and the Gemara is asking this stuff. Right, so there's two ways to read it. So two lekka, there are no more of Aika, right? The Tani Levi, Bashar Kol Shami Nazir, all other Shami Nazir, Shishachtan Shalokim Mitzvatan, that he shechted them inappropriately. What is shechting a Nazir, a Shami Nazir, inappropriately? Two possibilities. Rashi, in other places, brings down their two possibilities. Mefarsh brings one of them here, which is one possibility is that she did it in the Gemara Menachos Shalodi Shman. He did a lo lishma. So if you bring a shlamim or an olah lo lishma, what's the status according to the Gemara and Mishnayos and Menachot is that they are good karbanot, avos lo olu lebalim. They don't work for the balim. They don't fulfill your obligation, but yet they are still good karbanot. So over here too, you have a shlamim, shami nazir that's brought here. He did it slowly shma. He didn't do it for the right nazir. He didn't do it intentionally for the owner who was bringing this nazir. So it is a good shlamim, but it does not fulfill the obligation of the nazir. In that case, that shlamim is brought as a shami nazir without lechem. The other possibility is, what is the age of a shami nazir? The shami nazir has to be brought from an ayol that is ben shtei shanim, that's 2 years old. What happens if you bring a 1 year old, right? If you only bring a 1 year old karban, that is shalokim mitzvatan. So in that case also, it will qualify to be a shami nazir, but it won't work for him. In that case, it'll have the status of a shami nazir. What does it mean it has the status of the shami nazir? Kishayrim b'lolim l'balim, they're good, they don't work for the obligation of the nazir himself. The shum chova, v'nechlim l'yom echad, they're eating for one day, v'ein nechlim lo lechem below zroa. So here, they basically add in the word zroa. Not only do they not have the lechem, but the zroa. Part of the shami nazir is a wave offering of the bread and the zroa. Those are the two parts of the wave offering. So that way, obviously, if you're missing kafei nazir for the lechem, you're also missing it for the zroa. So I said to you that all the Rishonim say, but what did in our Mishnah? But in our Mishnah, that when the Mishnah mentions lechem, it also means zroa. Right, but just to hear the explicit mention of the Braisa. Kemitzvatan, so the Gemara answers up, no problem. Kemitzvatan kachashiv, look, mitzvatan lo kachashiv. I mean, the Gemara is only the Mishnah, when we're talking about four, we're talking about four that are brought appropriately. We're not talking about someone who messes up a shami nozir and then ends up with this case. We're not talking about a bidyevet, quote-unquote, case. We're talking about a case of chatzkila, where you're bringing a shami nozir and it has no lechem. All the four cases we brought above are, there's no question, you bring the karban here, and that is, but chatzkila, you're bringing the shami nozir in this way. Our case creates a situation where you're not going to bring the lechem because he messed up. The kohen who was bringing it, or the person who brought it, slowly shma, ruined the karban. We're not talking about cases where they did something wrong. We're talking about cases where he's doing the right thing, and we end up with a shami nozir without lechem over here. So I'll just point over here, again, the case, I just want to point out the Rabbeinu Tam about whether they are the lechem over here, the Re Paskins, that you do bring the lechem, even though you're not here. Oh, very good. It's down in the rush. It's towards the end of the rush on today's daf. And towards the end of the daf, it's 2, 4, 6, 8 lines from the bottom in my rush. It says, Veri Perish. Veri Perish. It can't be that far from the bottom of you guys either. It's got to be about the same place. Right, Viri Perish, Shane Tunim Lechem Litznufa. He doesn't have to bring Lechem Litznufa as a wave offering of a Lechem Tzorech Lahavi. He still has to bring the Lechem. The Lo Zroa, what does it mean, Lo Zroa? There's read that Zroa eat no the Kohanim. You give the Zroa to the Kohanim, the Ein Abalim Yechum Lo Chlo. Because normally, by the Shalmi Nazir, the Nazir would get to eat it, but Ein Tunim Tznufa. It doesn't get Tznufa. In a Shlomim, a regular Shlomim, right, the Zroa would go to the Kohen. So over here, since it's between a Shalmei Nazir and a regular Shlamim, we're going to give the Zroah to the Kohen in order to prevent any problems from happening here. So when it says, Ein Zroah and Ein Lechem, it doesn't mean there is no Zroah and there is no Lechem, it's just that they are of a different din than normal. Ein Lechem means you don't do the wave offering of the Lechem, you still have to bring it. Number two is the Zroah. Normally you would do a wave offering of the Zroah and the Baal would get it, or the Nazir would get it. Here, the Zroah goes to the Kohen. So what it means, lo Zroah, lo Lechem, doesn't mean that there is no Zroah, there is no Lechem, but rather they don't have their normal dinin. Because you could have learned it, which is the easiest way to learn it, lo Lechem means no bread. This is a Shalmei Nazir without Lechem, and this is a Shalmei Nazir without a Zroah. And therefore, since you don't separate out the Zroah would go again to the Baalim to eat. Alright, we'll stop here, and we'll continue tomorrow.
Go ahead.